Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends, and once again, it's time for the Redemption Time broadcast. Brother Larry Knowles is your speaker. I do want to thank each one of you for being here with us this morning. I appreciate so much the ones that listen and trust that the broadcast is a blessing and a help to you on your daily walk. Well, I want to just, before I just actually give you my church announcements, I just want to say a word about our church. We are a loving congregation here in Maryville that extends our invitation through this and other ways every week for people to come and visit and to enjoy the blessings of God with us. We're not trying to profit anything from this. We're trying to offer a blessing to you, to the community, to anyone that wanted to come and be in our services. And I just want to say that we have a beautiful facility. And we have wonderful people, a great pastor, and we have a choir that if you like to sing, you can sing in the choir. If you sing special songs, we give you opportunity to do that. And just trust that if you're looking for a place where you can worship and be welcome and be loved, I want to just tell you that Maryville Baptist Tabernacle is the place that you ought to be. And if you would like to do that, let me tell you that we begin our Sunday school at 9:45 on Sunday mornings. We begin our morning worship at 10:45, our evening worship at 6, and then on Wednesday we meet at 7. And just want to give you an invitation to come and be in any of these meetings that you could. I know the Lord will bless you if you wanted to do that. Well, now we're going to have another song. Oh, we'll have a song, not another song. We're going to have a song, and then I'll be back with today's message, continuing in the account that is given us of the taking of Jericho. And I have these new CDs from Marilyn Williams and the Harmony Trio, and they're all new to me. Most of them are old songs, and boy, that's what I like. And so I'm going to have another one from them this morning. I think if you've been around gospel music a while, you'll recognize it. And I know it'll bless you because it does me.
Oh,
the land of the living. You know, right now we live in the land of the dying. Every day people are going out into eternity, and many of them lost, never to be redeemed, never to be rescued, never to be taken out of that awful place called hell. Oh, but listen, friend, you don't have to go there. You don't have to be part of that. Jesus has made the way. I just wonder today, as we go into this broadcast, if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart today. I want you to be obedient. Well, this week is Veterans Week. Veterans Day is on this week. And I'm a veteran, and I hope that there are some veterans listening. And I spent 3 years in the Navy Seabees and spent two of those years in Vietnam. And thankful to God that I'm back here today out of that. And thankful for each one of you that God has spared you and blessed you, brought you through that experience, and brought you to a time that we can look back on it and reflect upon it, and to consider it an honor to have served. So in honor of all the veterans listening today, I have a song I'm going to play. It is a patriotic medley by the Joy Airs, and I want you to know that this is especially for all of you veterans that may be listening today. Well, there you have that, and for all of our veterans that might be listening today, thank you for your service. Thank you for being with the broadcast today. May God bless you and welcome home. Well, today we want to get back into our message out of the book of Joshua. Before we do, we want to go back to the Lord in just a quick word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the day and for the opportunity to be here, for all the blessings. We thank you for this another Veterans Day and for all of those that served to help keep our freedom. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them and bless all those listening today. Bless those that need to be saved. I pray, Lord, that you will break their hearts and bring them to a place of understanding their need of a Savior, that they might be saved before it is too late. Dear Lord, bless our country. Thank you for the victory we had this week. And Lord, I pray that you will just continue to bless. And now I pray, Father, for as we begin into this new administration that's taking over, Lord, I pray that you'll give them some unity, give them some wisdom, and Lord, help them to pull together. God, you've given us a chance here to do something, and I pray, Father, that you'll help us, help the ones making our decisions to take advantage of that and use it to do that that's good and that will honor you. Pray for Israel. Lord, we pray for them as they fight their enemies. We pray for the sick out there that's listening today. Bless them, touch them, heal them according to your will. Comfort those that have lost loved ones. And Lord, we pray most of all today for that one that may be lost, especially if there's one close to eternity. Lord, since we were here last time, countless thousands throughout this country have died. And according to percentages and statistics, about 98% of them went to hell. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to get the message out that that's not necessary. That's not something that people have to do. God, you've made a way. You've opened the door. You've paid a price. It's so simple and so easy, so free. For us, it wasn't free for Jesus. He gave all he had, the best heaven that could offer, for the worst that the world had. Lord, pray that you'll just save somebody. Use this broadcast to reach the heart of some lost person. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we were looking at the book of Joshua and the fact that he has been directed now to go and to besiege the city of Jericho. And we looked last week at the fact that before they did that, a couple of things happened. Number one, God gave him a plan. We went over that plan of the days of marching. And then, second of all, there were some preparations. They had prepared themselves by reinstating the things that God had told them to do. And let me tell you, if you're in the battle for the Lord, the best place that you can possibly be is to be sure that you're in the center of his will by confirming to the obedience of what he has said. That was Joshua's purpose. He wanted to be sure that he had done all that God had commanded and that he was right where God wanted him to be. And so then we saw that, first of all, not only did they reinstate that those practices of circumcision and Passover in preparation for the battle, but then I want you to notice, as they approached, there was the perception of the wall. Now, for a scripture, let me just go back this morning and read chapter number 6, verse 1, one more time. It said, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in." We realize that this wall was several yards thick. It was very high, and it went all the way around the city, and it looked to be impossible to get through it. And yet, God said, "I have given it to you." You see, in God's mind, the battle was already won because he knew what he was going to do. All Joshua and Israel had to do was just to be obedient to what he said. And I know that that plan, like the plan of salvation, doesn't make any sense to the human mind. What the good is it going to do to march around that wall? Well, first of all. Can I say that there was a perception there of that wall, and the perception to Israel was it looked like a problem. It was straightly or completely shut up. Nobody was coming in. Nobody was going out. It didn't have to open the gates, and it appeared to them, their perception was that it was an impossibility, and friend, from the human standpoint, it would have been. Just like the salvation of a soul, we think about that and we realize that within the realm of human ability, that is an impossibility. You may know someone today that needs to be saved, and yet it seems that no matter what kind of efforts you put forth, there's never any movement, there's never any change, and it might seem like that it's an impossibility. But listen, the Bible said, the Apostle Paul wrote and said that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation, and if we listen to and preach and faithfully proclaim the gospel, there will be people that will be saved because the gospel is a powerful tool. And the perception was of Israel that this was a problem. It was a massive stone structure of uncertain width. You can't go through it. It was insurmountable. It was too high to go over it. Estimates run from archaeological digs that it was anywhere from 13 to 23 feet tall. It had watchtowers up to 28 feet tall, and at that time was probably considered the tallest structure in the world. So they can't go over it. Can't go through it. Can't go over it. Can't go under it. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to do the only thing that they can do. They're going to go around it. Doesn't mean they're going to just go around and bypass it, but they're going to encircle it. And that's what God told them to do. That was the plan. March around it once a day for 6 days. And then on that seventh day, we'll do something different. We'll go around it seven times. We'll have seven trumpets, seven priests. We'll do seven blasts. Everybody will shout, and the wall's going to fall down. Oh, I know. Sounded ridiculous, but the people trusted God. Just like the Bible says, it's through the foolishness of preaching that people are saved, and that's what people think, is that it's foolish for the gospel to be preached. It's foolish to believe that that can do anybody any good. And yet that's what God has chosen as an instrument that people would be saved. Friends, it's the only way you'll ever get to heaven is through the gospel. The gospel. The good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, has come from heaven. He was born in a manger. Oh, and by the way, we're getting close to the season. We're even going to celebrate that. And remember our Lord's birth and celebrate a time that he laid aside his royal being, his royal robes, and he came to earth. Took upon himself the robe of a human being and subjected himself to all of the things that this world subjected him to that he didn't have to, but he did it for ourselves. So he came here and was born in the most humble manner that I've ever known. No, I know no one else that was ever born in a stable. But he was. And then he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never spoke a sinful word. Never thought an evil thought. Never did an evil deed. He was in perfect obedience to his Father right up to the very end. And then, after he had done that, they took him. And for no reason other than they hated him because he had told them the truth. They crucified him. They first beat him until he really didn't even look like a human being anymore. And then they took him out and they nailed him. hands and feet to an old cross, and they stood him up. And there they shamed him and spit on him and mocked him and laughed at him. And then, eventually, when all was done that the Bible had said would be done, all that was prophesied was fulfilled, Jesus said, "It is finished." It was done. Everything had been done that needed to be done. The great plan that had been laid out by God in eternity past and had been carried out by Him has been done. It was finished. And then He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And there He yielded up the ghost, or He gave up His spirit and allowed it to depart from His body. And there He died on that cross. They took Him down. They took Him to a tomb. And they placed Him in that tomb and rolled a stone shut. Early on the third day, Mary and some of the women went to prepare His body for a final burial. And when they got there, they found that the stone was open, had been rolled away, and He was not there. They thought someone had taken the body. And yet, what had happened was Jesus had come forth victorious out of that grave. He had conquered death. He had conquered hell. And He had conquered the grave. And because of that resurrection, it gives power that He can resurrect us. He can resurrect us from a life of sin to a new life, a life in the Spirit, a life that can honor Him and bring glory to Him instead of the sinful way that we are born. Not only that, but it brings life after this body has given up. One day it doesn't matter how good care we take of it. No matter how much we try to be healthy and do all the things right. One day, sooner or later, this body is going to give up. It was born with the principle of sin in it. And the moment that we come into this world and we begin to live, sadly, we also, at that same moment, begin to die. Because 1 minute after we're born, our life is shorter than it was when we were born. And death will overtake all of us, except for the ones that are saved and are still alive when the Lord takes His church out at the resurrection of the dead in Christ. So we find that this is the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. And friend, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me," let me just say it this way. If you believe on Him, on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never die. You'll simply move from the realm of the flesh to the realm of the Spirit. And let me move on. I'm about to run out of time here. To the people, to Israel, it looked like a problem, but to the people in the city, the perception was of protection. It was massive. It was self-sufficient. They could raise their own food in there. They had palm trees. They had dates. They had water, had plenty of water. It was fed from three sources by way of an aqueduct. And they had the capability of receiving 1.6 billions of gallons of water a year, which is 4.4 million gallons a day. That was the capacity they could have had if they needed it. They had tall watchtowers. They had 24/7 soldiers on guard. No matter who come along, they felt safe. They were at ease resting in false hope. The Psalms 127 verse 1 says, "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And I may say this, dear friend, that's true. It doesn't matter what a great army we have. It doesn't matter what great defenses we have. If the Lord's not protecting us, then all of that is in vain, because He is the one that is in charge of all of that. And He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that determines all of these things. And I'm afraid that, my friend, today there are many people that are trusting in the wrong perception. They believe that the wall that they live behind is going to protect them. And there are many walls. It takes many forms. Some of them is the form of religion. Some is the form of denial. Some is the form of apathy. They just don't think about it. And they just don't care. Some just plain rebel and say there is no God, that there is no eternity, that there is nothing of this. You see, that's all false hope. Just like these people in Jericho lived behind those walls, they were trusting the wrong thing. Friend, one of the purposes of this broadcast is to try and to unravel some things that, and possibly bring you some Bible truths about what it takes to be saved, what it means to be saved. And it's not just walking down some aisle and shaking some preacher's hand. It's not just some passing fad that goes by, not just something you do for a while. Oh, but listen, it is the work of the Holy Ghost in the heart of a person when they're convicted of their sin. And today, as we come down to the last minute of the broadcast, I just want to ask you, friend, have you ever been saved? You ever been a time that you knew that you had realized your need of a Savior? You had asked the Lord to save you, and He had come into your heart and made you a new creature, gave you the new birth through the power of the Holy Spirit, indwelt you, and now lives in your heart, leads you and guides you, and makes your path glow for Him. If not, friend, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I love you. My church loves you. My pastor loves you. And we want you to be saved. Ask the Lord to save you. On the authority of God's word, if you ask Him,